two factoids for you here, and you can decide which one you think holds more weight for K-State and Cincinnati tonight. One is what I was touting in the open, USC winning. Now makes them the team from the first four to advance to at least the round of 32. There's always been one every year since it started, but never two. So that would bode poorly for K-State. But on the other side of the coin, 11 seeds have been awesome. You've already had two that have won and another, Rhode Island, that is winning right now. So the 11 seeds have really been across the board pretty dominant in this tournament so far. So if you want to be negative Nancy heading into the Cincinnati game, you've got one side of the coin. I'm also giving you the other side of the coin if you want to think positively and optimistically here. So unlike, you know, every news organization now that's trying to tell you how to think, I'm presenting both sides there, two facts on either side of the aisle. You can choose what you want to believe. That's how kind and generous I am for you here today on the show.
And which one do you choose? You personally.
Yeah, well, I'm worried because
that's what
USC.
Yeah, and I'm going to take the other one, which is fine.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
I love that Rhode Island team.
Speaking of two sides, we'll go haters and ballers at 5:10 Cincinnati edition with new sound clips. I'm trying to think of I've got a list in my head of like all the sound clips and like stars that are going to make special appearances in the sound clips. But I want them to be a surprise to you, mainly.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not going to go ahead and tease them out there. I wish that I could, because I think that would make people want to tune into it more, but I want an actual genuine reaction from you when they get played. For now, we'll go through some of the NCAA tournament games that have happened today. I mean, really, the biggest takeaway that I had is sort of what you said. It's just been a more fun day, all in all, it seems like, to watch games. Part of it is because you had two Big 12 teams right off the bat today in Oklahoma State and Baylor. And Oklahoma State and Michigan, that game was, I mean, that was so fun to watch. Both of those teams, just a ton of offensive firepower. And if not for Michigan shooting what felt like 95% from three-point range in the second half, Oklahoma State probably wins that game, but they lose 92-91 with a three ball from Juwan Evans to cover the spread at the buzzer. But that game just had like everything in terms of watchability. Frankly, it reminded me a lot of watching K-State Wake Forest is what that game felt like.
Yeah, just closer. And probably I would say between two teams that, I mean, it's just a little bit higher quality of basketball. I think that Oklahoma State and Michigan can both play a little bit better defense than Wake Forest did.
I would agree with that, just quality of basketball all the way around. They're also, like, Juwan Evans is more skilled offensively than any of the guards that were playing in the K-State-Wake Forest game, I would say. But it had a very similar feel to it. Now, you know, the real work starts for Brad Underwood. Even if he was winning a few games in this tournament, the real work for him was going to start after that. How does he start piecing everything together? Can he recruit Juwan Evans to stay? I did see that Juwan Evans was telling people in the locker room that he feels like he'll probably stay right now, but there was no definitive decision made there. Barry Trammell from The Oklahoman was reporting that. I did get a scare from my heart overhead dark horse Final Four pick, Baylor, who trailed at the half 40-38 today against the 14 seed New Mexico State. Based on the Bears' recent track record in the tournament with having some upsets sprung on them, I was a bit nervous there, but they came out in the second half and outscored them by 20, 53-33. So Baylor wins 91-73. No problems. No problems for the Bears. Now they get an 11 seed in the second round. They're going to be cruising to the Sweet 16, man. Put that in drive. Put it in cruise control. Scott Drew at the wheel. Riding on through to the Sweet 16.
Where are you going with this? Again, they have had some very bad losses in the NCAA tournament in addition to their two Elite Eights.
Well, they got past the scare in the first round for the double-digit seed there.
It's really tough. I mean, the way that I saw it phrased, and I totally agree with this, it's for a team like New Mexico State that is a very solid team, but it's really tough to shoot over 7-footers for 40 minutes. And it just seemed like in the second half, New Mexico State couldn't do it anymore.
That's where Baylor should be able to wear some teams down with their just the size and number of big, burly bodies that they had to throw out there. Because it's not just Lou Alachul, it's Jonathan Motley being a big guy himself. I mean, Ish Wainwright, who's flying all over the place, is a pretty sturdy guy.
He's
also
their leading scorer today.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Ish Wainwright, man. I used to make so much fun of that guy. He has actually turned into a nice nice glue guy by the end of his Baylor career.
Let me correct myself. Al Freeman was their leading scorer.
Okay. Well, regardless, would you admit that you were happy to see Baylor win for the sake of the Big 12?
I just – I everything for Big 12 is out the window. I'm looking at my bracket.
Okay.
I've got my bracket entered into a couple different contests that could win me some money over the next couple weeks. That's what we're going with. So, yeah, I was fine with Baylor winning. And even though I had picked SMU to beat, because we're talking about the next game they're going to play, even though I had picked SMU to beat USC, I'm kind of okay with SMU losing. It goes against my bracket, but I have Baylor moving on to the Sweet 16, and this probably makes that a little bit easier. I like Baylor's matchup with USC a lot more than I would against SMU.
Agreed. That's why you said, where are you going with this? That's why I said, put Scott Drew behind the wheel and cruise control, man. He's probably listening to like some REO Speedwagon or something and just flying down the highway onto another second weekend in the tournament because he's a great coach. Right. Win number 26 for Baylor today. Anything else? I mean, we had the USC-SMU finish at the Open. Anything else really catch your attention from what's happened today?
Definitely. Did you happen to see the final minute of Seton Hall and Arkansas?
I did not. I've missed, like, the controversial things live. Yesterday we were on the air when the foul happened from Vanderbilt at the end of the game. Now we have a controversial flagrant at the end of the Seton Hall-Arkansas game.
Courtesy of Big 12 official Doug Sermons. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Look. I understand, and Seth Davis was pointing this out after the game on Twitter. I understand that the rule says that if there's not an attempt to play the ball, that it is technically a flagrant foul. But if you are behind with 30 seconds left, that's, I mean, those are the fouls that are just going to happen all the time. And their feet did get locked up a little bit, and so the Arkansas player fell down to the floor, so it looked a little bit worse than what it actually was, but the guy was just trying to stop the clock, and the refs even went to the monitor to check it out and then called it a flagrant foul. It was a brutal way to lose if you're Seton Hall.
Yeah, without having seen it, because I quite honestly have not yet. Without having seen it, I just don't like it on the surface, because at the end of the Oklahoma State game, they had, forget, it was the kid off the bench, I always forget his name, but he went to go intentionally foul, kind of just gave the guy a hug, and they give you the benefit of the doubt in that scenario because they know what's going on. Now, if your issue is they just shouldn't do that in general, you know, everything should be called exactly the same way, sternly, from first second of the game to the last second of the game, I suppose I'll listen to that argument. I would disagree. But the way things are now, we know that it's treated differently, and especially in the NCAA tournament, to have it happen like that, that's, I don't like that at all.
And I was very tuned in for the second half of that game. Seton Hall had its chances, and they had some really, really dumb turnovers in the final 3 minutes. So I wouldn't totally say that the refs stole a win from Seton Hall, but I will say that if you're an official, you cannot make that call at that time, especially in the NCAA tournament.
Rhode Island is on top of Creighton right now, 33-26. Marcus Foster, I saw, was 2-for-8 from the floor in the first half, so Creighton just continues to struggle. They're just not the same team without Watson, their point guard, who got hurt.
Hurt and then arrested.
About halfway through the year. Yeah, bad situation with him at Creighton. So, I don't know. I was halfway rooting for Marcus Foster. I did pick Rhode Island in my bracket. But, you know, I'll have my eye on that game to see if Foster is able to pull anything out. The other thing about the tournament today that we haven't really addressed, that I know everybody around here is probably, maybe it doesn't matter so much to people that have a dog in the fight here. We're going to be watching the K-State game. But I do wish that at least the Wichita State-Dayton game was at a different time. I don't know that I really need to watch Kansas and UC Davis. But Wichita State-Dayton, it'd be nice if they weren't all going on at the same time. Because basically you have Kansas tipping off at 5:50, Wichita State at 6:10, and then K-State at 6:27. So they're all going to be going in that same window.
Not ideal. And I think that if you're the tournament, you should always try to put a couple of the more intriguing games at the very end so that you have something to keep your eyeballs on the TV through the entirety of the first round of the tournament. And if you're in K-State's case, that actually does apply, because the final game that tips off tonight is Kent State and UCLA. So if K-State were to win, then obviously you're going to be watching that game. It's an okay late slate of game. You do have Marquette in South Carolina, so you're going to be paying attention to what Frank Martin can do. But ultimately, I agree with you. I would really love for Wichita State to be playing in that final session there, so I could get a closer look at them.
What a day for Cult of Frank members. You had Brad Underwood this morning.
He lost, by the way.
Frank did not.
No,
lose.
No, I'm saying Brad Underwood lost. Yeah,
but you had Brad Underwood this morning to watch. You got K-State playing, and then you have Frank Martin.
Yeah.
Playing later on. Cult of Frank, big day.
I think they win it, by the way.
Haters and Ballers at 5:10, Cincinnati edition. you liked the first segment, this one will be even better, trust me. But next up, if you missed Dan Hoard yesterday, who's the play-by-play voice of the Cincinnati Bearcats, we just play you the greatest hits of that interview. What is Cincinnati most concerned with in the matchup with the Wildcats tonight? You'll find that out next on The Game.